It's wonderful that you're able to join me and all of the listeners here today on God Is. And this week we've been talking about the justice of God, and what is true of God is that God is just. And His justice is perfect because everything God does is perfect. So God exercises a perfect justice. This is the clear teaching of all of Scripture. To know who God is will be to know that God is just. Listen to Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 5. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all things. How true! As we talked about yesterday, evil people act as if God's justice will never be felt, but we who seek the Lord know that's not true. When you actively pursue Jesus Christ and feast daily on the Word of God, you understand that God is just, and He will bring His justice to bear on all the people who have ever lived in the coming judgment. God is a just judge who will sentence unjust persons to an eternity separate and apart from God and God's people. It's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the just God when you yourself are unjust. On the other hand, listen to what God provides to, quoting Proverbs 28, those who seek the Lord. The Bible says this in Psalm chapter 37 and verses 27 through 29. Depart from evil and do good so that you will abide forever. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake His godly ones. They are preserved forever. But the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. That's Psalm chapter 37, verses 27 through 29. The Lord loves justice, and it is the righteous who will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Justice, righteousness, these are the qualities of the Lord. And of course, these are the qualities that the Lord requires in those of us who seek the Lord. Listen to Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. This is from Micah, the Old Testament prophet, in chapter 6 and verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Did you hear it? Do justice. Christians are those who do justice. We are just. Oh, my friends, the perfection of God. He is perfectly just. We rejoice and we praise God for who He is. Please join with me today in thanking and praising God for His righteousness and justice. In light of God's justice, I am answering two questions that often arise. The first question is, if God is just, then why do wicked people seem to prosper? And the second question, which I'll begin answering today, is this: if God is just, then why do His people, Christians, suffer? So let me just remind you in a real quick summary fashion how I answer the first question, and then we can move on to the second. If God is just, then why do wicked people seem to prosper? I gave you three reasons and supported each one from the Bible. First, I told you that the wicked do not always prosper. Sometimes God brings swift justice to the unjust. And second, God can allow for evil in order to accomplish His purposes in the world. The best example of that is the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And third, as I said last time, God sometimes allows for injustice to carry on a little bit longer in order to make His judgment on sin all the more justified. To quote theologian Thomas Watson, God's justice becomes clearer in His condemnation. Let's turn now to this second question. If God is just, then why do His people, that is Christians, suffer? And before I jump into what the Bible says by way of an answer, I think it's important that I say two things as an introduction. First, I want to define this word suffer. As always, we've got to define our terms. What do I mean when I say suffer or suffering? Well, here is what I do not mean. Not getting what I want, as if some inconvenience is suffering. Let me give you an example from my own experience of what I am talking about. Very recently, I had a very busy day, and I was working away at my desk one dark and rainy afternoon. And I thought to myself, I ought to drive over to Pete's Coffee and get a little caffeine in my body. So I drove over there and parked. As I entered the cafe, I took out my mobile phone and opened up my Pete's app. At the register, they have this I don't know what to call it, but it reads a barcode on the phone. And when it goes through, I get a little notice that I am one cup closer to a free coffee. It's like a rewards card, except that there is no card. It's all electronic, which already annoys me, but so be it. Well, then, I ordered my coffee and told the young man behind the counter that I wanted to check in, meaning I want to connect my phone to this contraption and get credit for buying the coffee. Granted, I had been holding my phone up to this little machine the entire time, but he informed me that I have to check in before I pay. And since I had already handed him my money and he had put it in the cash register, there would be no reward for me that day. Well, what was my response? I'll tell you. On the inside, I had an explosion of anger. Boy, was I frustrated. Very frustrated. Thankfully, on the outside, I simply walked away and then promptly moaned and groaned and complained within myself all the way down the street to the car. As I drove, I continued to lament the experience. But friends, I did not suffer that day. This is not suffering. This was a mere inconvenience. And what that probably really was is another example of God refining my character. Let me allow Mark to be robbed of his little reward and see how he reacts. A small test. Now you say, well, when you mentioned that you'd be talking about suffering, there's no way I thought that's what you meant. Well, good for you. But my experience within myself, and certainly being observant of American culture, there are definitely people, Christians included, who think suffering is that. We think that if we are not getting what we want or think we deserve, then we are burdened with some legitimate hardship. But that is not what I am talking about. When I talk about suffering, I mean affliction such that my life is radically rocked by legitimate pain. A persecution is a good example. That is, I am attacked for my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This could be physical, imprisonment, death. But in our country, it is more likely rejection, being shamed, singled out, ignored, or in the marketplace told that we cannot share our faith with others. In the context of the family, our belief in Christ is treated with disdain. Another example is some form of physical ailment that really impairs the body or mind or both. You may think of cancer, but of course there are a multitude of other diseases and afflictions. And third, some of you are suffering because of human relationships. Maybe you are in an abusive relationship. Maybe you are being taken advantage of and or someone you dearly loved is gone. You're grieving. All of this certainly qualifies as suffering. So this is what I mean when I use the word. The second thing I want to say before answering the question, if God is just, then why do his people, Christians, suffer, is this. If you're a Christian, if you follow Christ, then expect to suffer. God's people will suffer. It's not a question of will I suffer. It is only a question of when will I suffer or how will I suffer. The Bible cannot be more clear. The Christian life is a life of suffering. Did you get that? The Bible cannot be more clear. The Christian life is a life of suffering. Oh, we do not like this, but it's true. This is not popular, but it's true. And I am certainly not here to repeat what is popular. I'm here to tell you the truth from the Bible, and if you will actually read the scriptures, you will agree with me. Over and over again, we see the people of God in the Bible suffer, and often they suffer something fierce, and there's no way to spin it and make it seem better than it is. It's bad. It gets really bad. And here are a couple of examples. I'll start right at the top, Jesus Christ. Listen, everything we learn about the Christian life, we learn from Jesus, our master teacher. And what does Jesus teach by example? He teaches us that we will suffer, and he teaches us how to suffer. Listen to this convicting text in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21 tells it to us plainly. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. Since Christ suffered, we will suffer. And however Christ suffered is how we should suffer. This is a necessary Bible study for you to do sometime, and why not make that sometime the time after this broadcast ends today? Go back through the passages in the Gospels where Christ suffered. There are many, many examples, and every time you read about him suffering or being persecuted in some way, note with special interest how Christ responded to the suffering. What you will find when you do this is that Christ suffered in a way that you and I often do not practice. We do not follow his example. Why? We would rather do anything than experience pain. In fact, the central thrust of the culture in which we live is do anything to avoid suffering. And sadly, this culture of avoiding pain at all costs has found its way into the church. It's central to false teaching, such that we find in the health, wealth, and prosperity movement, or the name health, claim health, word of faith movement that has infiltrated churches and has certainly populated radio, television, and the internet, and dominates the most popular, quote-unquote, Christian music available today. But the Bible tells a different story. It demonstrates to us all throughout both testaments that genuine suffering is real, and all of Christ's disciples must experience it. We cannot deny that it exists. We cannot run and hide from it. We cannot ever say that God just wants to bless us and always makes us healthy and wealthy and prosperous. We cannot name and claim a problem-free life. Those are lies. The truth is very different. Christ tells us the truth, and Christ teaches the direct opposite from that of which I have just discussed. So read about the suffering in the life of Christ. Watch how Christ handles the suffering. Watch how he responds to it. And then join me again tomorrow, for God is...